at 8:35, Dick Napinski from the EAA will talk all about the big event in Oshkosh that is coming up very soon. Dick is the director of communications and a great guy. He'll join me in just a little while. Right now, we've got a few more minutes with Jimmy Pardo. Always love talking to Jim. You can check out his Never Not Funny podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. And check out the Pop Cultured Game Show July 13th at 9 p.m. Central at ucb.com. And if you want, you can do what I did today and Google Jim's stand-up on YouTube. Very funny. We played the clip earlier, Jim, of you picking a fight with a poster at Ross. Very funny bit.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. That's 100% true story. I like to stick with truth. Pete, I'm wrong. It's ucbcomedy.com. Oh. That's on me.
Okay, no problem.
I was just looking that up. I know you were just complimenting how funny I was, and I wasn't paying any attention to it because I was confirming that website.
No problem.
Because that's on me. I screwed up. I'm a miserable father.
We'll figure. That was a big jump.
I think we have our answer.
So let's talk some Chicago, Jim. I feel like.
Yes.
You know, I'm a really big fan of Chicago, always have been. You are probably the biggest fan I've ever met of this band. You know, worlds more than I do. Where are they? There's like Springsteen, U2, The Stones, and I put Chicago in a tier just under them, which some people might think that's too high. Some might, maybe you think it's too low. I don't know. I think they're fantastic, and I think the life of the band after losing Terry Kath and the Peter Cetera years, it's incredible they've had that much success with kind of switching things up like that. Give me your take just as a whole on the band.
I will agree with everything you just said. I fear my fandom always comes into it where if I say, you know, top band, I mean, the charts and other and concerts and such will let you know they are one of the top 10 biggest American bands of all time.
I would agree with that. Yeah, for sure.
But to go up against, like, my son and I went to see the Rolling Stones last night, and Oliver was excited about it because he's like, they might be in the top three biggest bands of all time. And then we were talking about this and talking about, you know, it's probably, the, you know, the Beatles are kind of their own thing. And then you've got, you know, the Stones, and you've got U2, and you've got Springsteen, certainly, Night Ranger. And then you've got, from there, you've got your other big band. So I'm always hesitant to put Chicago too high up because I am such a huge fan, but I do believe that people dismiss them because of those ballad years. They forget, you know, how influential of a band they were and how big they were. They would do five nights at the Forum here in Los Angeles. They would do five nights at the Stadium in Chicago. So they were humongous. Then they went away. Then they were humongous again, almost as a different band in the 80s with Cetera leading the charge with the ballads. Then Bill Champlin, you know, in Chicago 18 and 19. So I would put them up there, Pete. That's my long-winded answer. I hear what you're saying about they're like on a rung down. I wouldn't argue with you on that. But I think they certainly should be a part of the conversation more than they are.
Well, I think what they did too is almost more impressive in a way. Like if Springsteen leaves the E Street Band, they're just a fun band, I guess, maybe at best. Bono, U2, whatever, Mick. But Chicago, to lose Terry Kath the way they did, was so tragic and crazy. The fact that band had another life after that is what impresses me most about them. And it's fun to hear those guys, like on music documentaries, talk about Terry Kath and how some of them didn't like the direction the band went after that. And that may be the case. You're always going to have that with creative people. But did they have more top 10 hits after or top 20 hits after Terry Kath died? Mm-hmm.
Well, they had more number one hits after Terry Kath. They had, okay. You know, they had Hard to Say I'm Sorry and Look Away. You know, to your point, Pete, after Terry Kath, they had, you know, they had that second life. They you know, they were dismissed for a while, you know, right after Terry. The four albums that came out immediately after Terry, you know, passed away still weren't huge. And then they came back with Chicago 16 with, you know, with those ballad years. And then Cetera left. And then they still had a life after that where Chicago 18 to 19 sold very, very well. So they had almost three lives and then Cetera had his own career, you know, his solo career and Chicago's had great guitarists since Terry Kath, but you know, Terry was so unique and interesting that, you know, anybody trying to play guitar for Chicago was going to try to fill shoes that probably never could. And that's not saying they're not great guitarists. They're, you know, they're phenomenal, but they, you know, you're asking to fill in for probably a many would consider a legend at this point.
Well, and I didn't know this, Jim, until I saw this about 5 years ago. I was watching a music documentary with my son Joe about Terry Kath, and I think at some point in the film, Jimi Hendrix said something like, "I hope I'm as good as him someday." Like, that's how good Terry Kath was.
You know, when Jimmy Panko, the trombone player for the band, was on my podcast, I actually called him out on this because I asked him, I said, is this real or is it a story that has like a snowball that has become like urban legend at this point?
Yeah.
Supposedly, Terry Kath saw Chicago and Jimmy took him on tour, by the way. Hendrix took them on tour. So
that's
Hendrix,
right,
saw Terry Kath at the Whiskey a Go-Go and said, your horns act as one set of lungs and your guitarist is better than I am. That's what he said. Whew. Now, he also put acid underneath his headband. So, I mean, I don't know if that's accurate, but Terry was certainly amazing. And he, too, does not get the credit he deserves whenever you see the list of top 25 guitarists of all time. He certainly should be up there.
Yeah, that's interesting. My guest is Jimmy Pardo. He is the host of the Never Not Funny podcast, and he is a big part of the game show Pop Cultured, which you can see at UCBComedy.com Saturday night at 9 p.m. Central. Joins us now on Nightlight. So where are you, Jim, with the two Chicagos? Leaving the third Chicago out, Kath, Cetera.
Well, you know, I came into them, you know, the first time I ever saw them, I grew up with my dad. My dad was a drummer in bands, like, you know, cover bands, wedding bands,
right,
growing up. So my dad was in bands that played Chicago. So I heard Chicago in the house a lot throughout the Kath years. And then I first saw Chicago in concert in 1981 at Chicago Fest. I've now seen them over 100 times.
Whoa.
And I grew up in the Cetera era. So, you know, I certainly love that era. I love the post-Terry era. In fact, if you asked me, you know, if somebody came up and said, I want to get into Chicago, where do I start? They're one of the rare bands that I would say, start with the greatest hits. You can't go wrong with that. But
yeah.
Then go to Chicago 1, which is CTA. Then go Chicago 2, Chicago 16, Chicago 17. Those are the five I would recommend to start with. Then Chicago 5 after that. Or, if I may, Pete, the re-release of Chicago at Carnegie Hall, which I had the pleasure of co-writing the liner notes for.
Oh, I remember that. How cool was that? Wow.
I received two great phone calls in my life. One was when Conan O'Brien wanted me to fill in for Randy Richter. That was an amazing phone call. And then when I got the phone call to, do you want to write the liner notes for the re-release of Carnegie Hall? And I was like, I had these guys, their posters were on every inch of my wall, Chicago, growing up. And now I get to write the liner notes for their album. Damn. I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
What about the time I called you to make sure you were going to be ready at 3 o'clock to pick you up when we were going to I messed it up. You can't
take it again.
No,
what happened? I not ready?
No, I was. No, I was joking. I don't know if that phone call ever, you know, existed. It was just a very mundane thing. So Jim, a favorite Chicago song of all time?
Probably Dialogue off Chicago 5. Dialogue parts 1 and 2.
Wow, okay.
Would be up there. And then I love a song called Reruns off Chicago 13, which nobody enjoys. I think Beginnings off the first album is love in my top five.
That might be my favorite. That might be my favorite, actually.
You know what, Pete, I'll tell you this. If you would have asked me 3 years ago what my favorite was, and I said this for 30 plus years, Beginnings was my answer on not only my favorite Chicago song, but my favorite song of all time. But I don't know what's happened. Maybe it's what, you know, again, the climate of the world or whatever, but Dialogue is taken over the number one spot. And again, I rank my Chicago songs on a regular basis if anybody wants to follow me.
That's great. I do think Old Days, just because, not like it's a masterpiece of songwriting, but that I just equate with my childhood and living on the Northwest Side off the Kennedys. Like, I just heard that. It's like an anthem almost. I don't know.
It brings you right back, doesn't it?
Yeah, really. And that's what it's supposed to do. That's the goal of the song, you know, and it really does do that.
Fun piece of trivia. Peter Cetera refused to sing it live because he hated the line about howdy doody. He hated that line. So he wouldn't sing it live.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing that. That's kind of weird.
Here's a fun story. We were at the Hollywood Bowl a few years ago, my son and my wife and I, and this is going to sound so self-serving, but I was on my way walking backstage to say hello to my friends in the band I say that sentence ridiculously. I think it's insane that I'm friends with the band, but I'm going back there, and a guy stops me. What's that?
Just to see the guys.
Just I got to say hello to the fellas, tell them great job, and then get them on the bus and get them out of there. Some guy comes up to me. This is speaking of old days, by the way. He comes up to me and he goes, hey, that was a great show, huh? They didn't do my favorite though. And I said, oh, what's your favorite? And he goes, Roses. And I said, they don't have a song called Roses, sir. He goes, yes, they do. And they didn't do it. And I said, they don't, sir. They don't have a song called Roses. And he goes, yes, they do. And I go, how does it go? And he goes, Roses. And I said, oh, sir, you're thinking of old days. Oh, and they did do it. He goes, no, they didn't. And then he walked away. That was the conversation.
A conversation that was just wrong on every level. That's so great.
I was able to correct him in the spot. He wasn't happy with the correction.
Oh, that's great. So, Jim, God, I got like 1 minute left with you, and I don't even know what to ask you. I got so much I still want to talk to you.
60 seconds. Take your time, Pete. Hey, list off the coming up guests.
that could fill an hour. Are you sure? I don't know. So let me ask you this. What have you seen? Oh, let's do this. Let's bring it back to Nightlight. Have you seen any of the blockbuster movies this summer?
We just saw Quiet Place Day One. I thought it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I liked it too. Loved it.
I saw Bad Boys 4. I thought it was garbage.
Where are you at on Will Smith? He wants to be back in the Academy now. How would they ever, if they let him back in, I'm like, make as many movies as you want. You're just going to have to be a rich, famous guy. I'm sorry. You don't get that. You forfeited that. To me, it should be for life.
I don't disagree with you. I think anytime you physically assault somebody, you should there should be ramifications.
All right.
So I'm with you, Pete. Good use of our last minute.
All right, these six dates. We got to work on that, Jim. You got to add a Wisconsin date. Let's try to do that.
I look forward to it. Get this guy, Greg, to give me a shout, and I'm happy to I'll get up there. You know, I love Wisconsin. I've always loved Milwaukee and Sheboygan.
You were doing well there, and then you mispronounced Milwaukee and couldn't think of Sheboygan. So I don't doubt you love Wisconsin, but it's been a while.
I'm having a tough time.
It'll be like riding a bike. Thanks so much, buddy. This is so much fun. I miss you and honor. I love you. All right.
I love you too, pal. And thrilled that you asked me to be on. We'll talk soon.
All right. I hope so, buddy. All right. That's Jimmy Pardo. Check out the Never Not Funny podcast and watch Pop Cultured this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Central at ucbcomedy.com, July 13th. Jimmy Pardo. Very funny. One of the good guys. One of the best guys, I'll say. We have a lot of fun. We're going to do What to Watch. That's coming up next. Maybe we'll talk about Hugs some more. Let's go. Hugs still require consent, says Tyler in Columbia County on the text line. Hugs still require consent, and if asked, some may say no for medical reasons or make it easier. I get that. You say, I'm sorry, I can't hug you. It's a medical issue. Doesn't have anything to do with the fact that you're a creep or a weirdo. And then Tyler shared some, I don't know if they're memes or just posters. It's a yes, hugs, and then please hug me, or no hugs, and please don't touch me. You can put those on a t-shirt. thank you, Tyler. That's great. Good to hear from you. Bridget says, I don't think you should hug in the workplace. She's in the 818. Hug outside of work. Keep it professional and respect boundaries. Yeah, I would agree with that, Bridget. Bridget also says, we'll read that next. We're going to do What to Watch. Coming up next, but I think kind of the consensus on hugs. Conrad, have you been thinking about what you're going to watch? Because we're going to do that in just a minute here.
I shared it already.
Did you? What did you say?
Manor? Yeah, well, there is a new episode dropping on Sunday, so I'll give it a watch. So I'll be watching the new Sausage Party.
Oh, you did say that. I just gave you. Let's do it now then. All right, it's What to Watch Thursday. Get your text in, folks. Tell us what you're going to watch this weekend. You know you're going to watch something. Who doesn't watch television? I have color television at home. I'm not saying that to pump myself up. 855-752-4842. Get your suggestions in this segment. We'll read them. 855-752-4842. What to watch Thursday? What are you going to watch this weekend? Are you going to go to a movie? Are you going to stream something? Are you going to watch Jimmy Pardo on UCBComedy.com at Saturday night, 9 p.m. Central? Lots of options out there. And I think, so let's start reading. I love you. All right. So Jimmy Pardo, let's start this. Jimmy Pardo says he's going to watch The Bear. He's been watching season 3, loves it. I have two other friends on social media that say they love it too. And then I've heard some other people who say The Bear season 3 is leaning a little too hard on their celebrity cameos. That could be the case. Doesn't mean it's not good though. So Jim's going to watch The Bear. Conrad is going to watch Sausage Party.
The new show.
The show,
It's called Sausage Party Foodtopia. Yeah.
Judge him if you will. And maybe he deserves it. I don't know.
It's funny.
But he says it's very funny.
It's
so
funny. Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen. All right. I trust you. I'll have to check that out too. I'm going to watch this weekend, and I know what Jim just said. He saw Bad Boys 4 and it was terrible. I am going to finally see this so that when I hate on Will Smith, and I use the term loosely, I don't hate anybody, but I want to know what I'm talking about. And I've heard this is a piece of garbage, but it did get good reviews. So I'm going to check out Bad Boys this weekend. I'm also going to check out Maxine because I watched X last weekend, actually. And this is one of the follow-ups to X. I have not seen Pearl yet. Who was it last night? Matt Miller said he saw Pearl and it was very different and weird, but not necessarily bad. So that's that. Where's my list here? Okay. And we've got, Bridget says, that's the hug one. Okay. Bridget also says, I heard they are remaking An Officer and a Gentleman with Miles Teller. I've heard that too, Bridget. I love the original, so I'm going to watch it. Great and powerful performances. Can't imagine doing better. Boy, he is a great cast for that role. I will say that. Miles Teller really is batting 1,000. Glenn Powell is kind of like the new It guy when it comes to acting. And he's good. I like Glenn Powell. But, man, Miles Teller, whether it's Whiplash or Maverick or The Offer, loved him in The Offer. He's a really good actor, and he's a really cool look, too. From the 704, I'm watching NFL Hard Knocks behind the scenes offseason with the New York Giants. Okay, that's a good one, too.
I watched a little bit of that, and I really enjoy it.
So the Chicago Bears are going to be on, as I understand it, but is it two separate seasons? Is that how they do Hard Knocks?
So Hard Knocks is actually, they're doing three different ones. It's one that's right now, which is the off season, which is mainly the manager, coaches, off season moves. And then they have a preseason where it's training camp, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then there's one in season, which I believe the Chicago Bears are going to be the preseason one. I don't know if I don't know if they released who's in season this year yet.
Okay. Interesting. So, but the Giants one is good.
It really shows what goes on behind the scenes. I really enjoy it.
Okay, my buddy Nick just texted me. He is going to finally see Inside Out 2, even though he doesn't like kids' movies, because I have been babbling about it so much, because I just love that movie so much. Also from the 704, we don't have a name, but he says, I watched Last Stop in Yuma County. Great movie. Okay. I did too. I loved it. Have you seen that, Conrad?
I have not.
It's good. And talk about, it's a great movie. Like a period piece set in the 70s at a roadside stop in Arizona somewhere. A gas station that has like a diner attached to it and then like a 5-room motel. It's all run down.
Where can you see that?
Let's go to the Google. I want to say Netflix.
We love going to the Google.
We do go to the Google fairly often. this just says Google Play. Why doesn't it tell me what? I think it's Netflix. You know what? Try Netflix. I think it's on Netflix.
Okay.
Or just go to Roku. Everybody's Roku now anyway. Just search it on Roku.
It's actually Apple TV.
That's what I meant. I knew it was red. Red is apples. Yeah, check it out. It's a really good movie, though. There's a scene in the middle of the movie where everything kind of comes to a head. And I'm not going to say it's slow because they introduce all these characters where you're like, what's this guy's deal? And the kind of the consensus of the movie, or the to paraphrase what it's about, they have the gas station is out of gas. And we see at the beginning of the movie, the tanker flipped over. So all these people are in a diner waiting to buy gas, waiting for the tanker to get there. Two of them are bank robbers. And it's just, it goes in directions I did not see coming. And I love a movie that does that. It's not predictable. Right up until the end. Really good, solid watch. So there's some good suggestions for you guys for this weekend on what to watch Thursday here at Nightlight with Peach Wabba. So, Conrad, we have Dick Nepinski coming up.
Yeah.
That's EAA. Exciting. EAA. One of the biggest events in the whole state, not just Northeast Wisconsin, but they 700,000 people come to Northeast Wisconsin. I'm going to ask Dick how they manage that. We'll talk about that, and we'll ask Dick what he watches on TV, because he's the communications director for an event that size. He's got to go home and just chill, I would think, at night. I guarantee you, even though I've never met Dick, I think he's going to have some good suggestions for us.
I can also tell you a story about Harrison Ford and my uncle at...
Really?
Yeah, EAA.
Oh, yeah. You do get some celebrities there once in a while, because it's such a big deal. Yeah. All right, let's do that. Let's do that next. We'll come back. Maybe you could share that with Dick, Conrad.
Sure.
And you could tell him all about Sausage Party coming up this weekend. So look at that. Hey, it's great to have you with us. Broadcasting statewide, wherever you are in Wisconsin, we love having you. We love talking with you. Please feel free to share your thoughts. Dick Nepinski coming up from the EAA. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great song. I love that song when I was a kid, and I didn't realize until I got much older, that's a guy sitting in an apartment above the Whiskey A Go-Go on Sunset Boulevard trying not to do drugs, or more drugs, I should say. Still a great song, though, but that was a fun discussion with Jimmy Pardo. All right, we're going to pivot here. I am very excited. It's so much fun broadcasting statewide here. I always want to know what's going on around the state. If you don't know about this next event, I'm convinced you just don't read any kind of news, or I don't want to use the cliche, live in a cave. What's a better cliche, Conrad?
I don't know.
Give me a cliche. Come on, man. All right. It's my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a first-timer who I've been very excited to meet this guy, because I've heard nothing but great stuff. He's the director of communications for the EAA event in Oshkosh, which is just around the corner. And he joins us now on Nightlight, Dick Nepinski. Hey, Dick.
Hey, how's it going, Pete? Great to see you.
Great to see you, too. Thanks so much for taking the time. It's great to have you on the show. Because I know how busy you must be. I can't even imagine, how your life must be leading up to this event. I was just looking at some of the information. How does Northeast Wisconsin handle 700,000 people?
Well, very well, actually, when you come down to it, Pete. It's it is something, we have people, first of all, they camp next to their airplanes. We have thousands of them who camp next to their airplanes.
That's so cool. And then
we have 40,000 who camp right adjacent to the flight line. They drive in, they pitch their tent, bring in their motorhome, their campers, and so forth. Then a 50-mile radius. Use university dorms at UW Oshkosh and down at Marion University and out at Ripon College. A lot of people rent their homes. There are hundreds of people who rent out their houses for this event. And a lot of them have ended up meeting friends who they've gone overseas to see their newfound friends, or people that have been staying in their house for 10, 20 years and so forth. So it is a marvelous piece of choreography and a marvelous piece of cooperation that allows everybody to come in here to Oshkosh and make the world's greatest aviation celebration.
That is really impressive. And it gives me hope that Green Bay will be able to handle the draft in 2025 because there's a whole bunch of people coming here for that too. So I think if Oshkosh can do it with EAA, Green Bay will probably pull it off one way or the other. Maybe they need you to coordinate things. But all right. So, Dick, how did you get connected with this event? How long have you been with EAA? And for someone who's never been there before, what can you tell them about the event and why they should go?
Okay, well, I'm kind of at the opposite end of never having been there before. This is number 32 on staff, and I think 36 or wow. 37 overall. So I remember back in the late 70s when it was about half the size it is now. But, you know, it just was one of those things. I come out of actually the broadcast side, and there was just a quirk of fate that I was looking for something back in 1992. They were looking for somebody to join the communication staff at the time. It kind of folded together at that point. And after that, it just became, well, you kind of gets in your blood a little bit. And then you enjoy aviation and enjoy the people and kind of stay there. And really, that's part of it, Pete. Our founder, Paul Poberesny, used to always say, people come to this event for the airplanes, but they come back for the people. And the people wow. are, you know, you get to meet people from around the world, a lot of friends. We call it Aviation's Family Reunion because you see people you see once a year. You share those stories. How's the family been? All of those type of things. And one thing I really like about it is you can be in the campground and you can have a CEO camping next to a welder. And neither one knows what the other one does, nor do they particularly care because they're both there for the airplanes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great things about the event. There is a culture there that, look, regardless of politics, regardless of background, regardless of what your job is for 51 weeks a year, here we're about the airplanes. And we welcome people to come join us and do that. And if you've never been there, just think of a place that is an aviation city that has a collection of people and airplanes that really come together no place else in the world like this. Oshkosh is the biggest one. It's one of the few like this, and it's the one that everybody talks about around the world.
It's really impressive. I remember my dad used to go. He used to be a pilot, and he would get so excited about it. And I just, you know, if you're a pilot, you love it. And I know there are people that go that aren't pilots that just are fascinated by the aircraft. And that's where I fall in. Are you a pilot?
I am. Yep. I started flying back in 1996, and it was kind of fortunate EA had ground school you could take as being an employee, and took that and then went for an introductory flight. And yeah, I was hooked. And so, you know, that's as they say, you got the disease now, you're done. And and so you end up hanging around airplanes and earning my pilot certificate. And it really has led to some a great accomplishment in your life. Any pilot will tell you that first solo flight or that first one you go out after you earn your certificate is something special. You know, you get to fly your spouse or your kids or your mom or something like that. And just, you know, mom is always a little wary because she's going, really? This is the kid who wouldn't pick up his room and right. now he's doing this. So, you know, those are the kind of things that take place. But, you know, people coming in here, we'll notice that. So if you like airplanes or if you like technology, if you like history, heck, if you like the people watch, this is a great place to do it because there's so much happening all the time over 7 days.
That's a great answer. Dick, last year there was a couple accidents at the mm-hmm. Event. How do you guys deal with that? Is that ever, from a PR standpoint, do you ever worry about that? Or is everybody there? You know, is it such a solid branding you guys have done that they know that's part of the drill and those things can happen when you're flying around like that?
Yeah. And the first thing, you know, in the couple of acts, they're always tragic when those type of things happen. And it's, you know, definitely not a good day. I can tell you that right. straight away, you know, from a communication sense. But the one thing you have to look at is what happened there. And pilots are a unique breed. They will read the NTSB reports and go through them and say, okay, what did that person do that maybe I can learn from? Huh. And what can we as an event do that we can learn from? One of the accidents took place 5 miles away from the mountains. You know, we're still not sure exactly what happened there and what was happening with the pilot and the aircraft at that time. And so that is something that we look forward to seeing that final report to say, okay, what do we do? What can pilots learn from this? What can we as an event learn from it? And we end up working very closely with NTSB and FAA and the airport and everything else to try to mitigate that risk as much as you possibly can. But as everybody knows, whether you're driving or boating or riding a motorcycle or heck, even out on a bicycle, there is some risk involved in it because things happen very quickly sometimes.
Indeed. And that's a great answer. And I find it almost uplifting when stuff like that happens, as terrible as it is, people always somehow come back to the idea that they die doing what they love. They would do it again. They just want to fly and they know the risks. So that's kind of like, it's kind of like a you only live once type philosophy, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of that, you know, in aviation, it's a pursuit of something that takes you beyond the usual day-to-day life. Right. Less than 0.5% of all of the American population has a pilot's license. And, you know, when you think about that, that's a very interesting segment. And a lot of people think of piloting for airliners or in the military, but there are a lot of ordinary people like myself and like people who may live right in your neighborhood who just love flying. There is something about it. You know right. people who own Harleys and, you know, that they live to ride. You know people who are runners and they live to run. Well, that's the same thing with airplane people. It is their passion. It is something that that machine is special to them. The things they can do with it and the way they can travel with it is special to them.
It's something else. What do you have a favorite? My guest, by the way, is Dick Napinski. He is the communications director for the EAA event that takes place in Oshkosh later this month. Dick, what do you have a favorite part of the whole event for you?
Oh, man, I tell you, a couple of my favorite parts, Pete. One of them has to be the honor flight that we have every year on Friday of the week. American Airlines donates the airplane and the crew. They're all volunteers. They're crew members, the flight attendants, the pilots, everybody volunteered their time. And they send one of their 757s or 737s in, and they take 100 Vietnam veterans off to Washington, leave early from the wow. airport. And then they come back right at the end of the air show that day after a day in Washington, D.C. Now, you've got to remember the Vietnam vets, they really didn't get a really warm welcome when they returned home when they were 19 years old back in the early 70s.
Right.
And to have 40,000 people waiting for them to cheer them when they get off that airplane, you know, it's an emotional moment and one of my favorite moments of the entire week. Another one of my favorite moments is usually after the air show. You know, right about, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the evening, 8 o'clock, the airport closes for the day. And just to walk around and look at the airplanes, photographers call that the golden hour. The light is just right and everything else.
Yeah.
Then you start talking to people and just where are you from? How many times have you been to Oshkosh? You know, and did you fly here? What's your favorite airplane? Things like that. And just get into conversations and just learn some things and take some time and just kind of let it wash over you a little bit and really appreciate this unique event and what it means not only for aviation, but for the Fox Valley and Wisconsin.
The EAA takes place this year, July 22nd through the 28th. You can find more information at eaa.org. Dick Napinski is my guest. Dick, do you have every year, you know, you must see so many cool different aircrafts. Do you have a different one every year that you really get excited to see, or is it the same every year? From an aircraft standpoint, what are your faves?
Oh, man. You know, I've got some personal favorites. I always say my favorite airplane is whatever one I happen to be flying at the moment. but you take a look. One of my all-time favorites has to be from World War II, the P-38 Lightning. You got the twin tails and it was very, very fast. It was the airplane of choice by Medal of Honor recipient Richard Vong, who was from northern Wisconsin near Superior. That one is just, ever since I was a little kid, one of my favorites. You know, I take a look at some of the old biplanes that come in here from the 1920s and just so lovingly restored and the wood and fabric and wires that come together to make that airplane. And it, you know, flies at a grand speed of 80 miles an hour full out. But you know, what a fantastic way to fly open cockpit like that. Those type of airplanes just fascinate me. There's one that is from the early 1950s, an airliner. It's called the Lockheed Constellation. It's got kind of a dolphin back to it, a triple tail, perhaps one of the most elegant airplanes ever designed. And it was very, very popular as a passenger airliner for about a decade until it was overtaken by the jet age. But you know, there are only a couple of them flying now, and they are just so wonderful to see. And then you see just goofy ones. Last year we had NASA's Super Guppy, which is a cargo airplane that looks like somebody left the air hose in too long because it just kind of blows up on the top, and they use it to haul rocket parts from NASA. And it's kind of a pound puppy of airplanes. It's so ugly, it's cute. And, you know, it's sitting there, and it's only been here twice, but each time, I mean, it's been a rock star. People just look at it and go, wow, that thing flies. And they go, yep, that thing flies. You put a big enough engine on anything, you can fly anything. And that's the point.
That is so cool. If you have a family, Dick, and you wanted to take your family out to this, from a price standpoint, how does it compare with other events going on? Is it affordable? Do you have discounts or anything like that?
Yeah. One thing we did that's made a big difference over the last 3 years, with help from Boeing Company, 18 and under are free of charge to come in because nice. We want to introduce aviation to young people. So families can come in and really very affordable. You know, you think about going to a Brewer game, what tickets cost. You think about going to a Packer game, what tickets cost these days with parking and everything else. You know, so we try to make it affordable, and we do measure against other activities in the state, whether they're, you know, Wisconsin Dells activities or sporting activities or Summerfest State Fair and things like that. And we're right about in the mid range of things. So it is affordable for the family.
That's great. Dick, I have two more questions for you. Can you hang for 1 minute?
Be happy to. Thanks.
All right. Dick Nepinski is my guest. He is the director of communications for the EAA event, which takes place July 22nd through the 28th this month. Get your tickets now at EAA.org. We'll be right back with a few more minutes with Dick Nepinski. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. My guest is Dick Nepinski. We have a couple more minutes with Dick. He is the communications director for the EAA event in Oshkosh, which takes place July 22nd through the 28th. You can find more information at EAA.org. I feel like, Dick, I shouldn't even have to say that because this is such a staple when it comes to events in Wisconsin. I feel like everybody knows more about it than me, but you are really good at your job, my friend. I would imagine you could do a lot of this in your sleep.
Well, you know, sometimes, my wife says I don't talk about it in my sleep. So that's probably a good thing when you think about it.
So but, she gets a break.
She gets a break. But you do. You know, there's so much history and being around it for so long. It's fun telling the stories. It really is, because the people who come in and the people you meet, not only the famous people, but the ordinary folks who come in and just have that airplane that maybe they've been building. For instance, this year we talked about the P-38 before. There's a guy from Indiana coming up. And his uncle spent almost two decades before he died building a 2/3 scale P-38 fighter. And so, the nephew is going to fly it up here to Oshkosh for the first time and have it on the line. And
nice.
It's just one of those things you go, what an interesting backstory. You know, and then you have people like Miss America who will be here, and she's active duty Air Force. And so that fits in very well. So Madison Marsh will be here for a couple of days as well. So you get the entire spectrum coming here. And really, that's what makes it so interesting and such an interesting event on a worldwide level.
It's so great. And one of the reasons I wanted you to stick around is because Conrad has, we talk a lot about show business on this show, movies, TV, comedy, music, entertainment. And I know you get your fair share of celebrities at EAA. Conrad has a story.
Yeah.
Take it away, buddy.
Yeah. So, I forget how old I was at the point. I think I was around 12. But my uncle, he got his pilot certificate. He likes to fly into EAA. And, one time he met Harrison Ford there, and I was with my cousin somewhere else. And he tells, his wife, my aunt, go grab the kids quick. They can take a picture. And we got there too late. Harrison Ford left. That was the time I almost met Harrison Ford because my cousin and I loved Indiana Jones, Star Wars, everything. Huge fan of him. We were so sad the rest of the day. But it's still, we got to see the Blue Angels. It was such a cool day, though.
Harrison Ford, by the way, who should not be anywhere allowed anywhere near a plane. He's had like two accidents in the last like 5 years, hasn't he?
He can fly the Millennium Falcon, so.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, he flies a lot of different things. And actually, one of my favorite stories with him is he actually flew one of his helicopters and rescued somebody from the side of a mountain in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Yeah.
This was probably about 15 years ago. So, you know, it's, people often get known for the mishaps, which, you know, you try to prevent as much as you can. Sometimes something happens and, sure. You know, it's any piece of technology or machinery. But, Harrison Ford is very popular. It's been fun to meet those type of people. Some of the people from the sporting world, Ken Griffey Jr., the Hall of Famer in baseball, is a pilot and he's been there several times.
Oh.
Morgan Freeman, Kurt Russell,
nice.
John Travolta, those people have all been to Oshkosh, and that's, people think about the star power, but really the stars are the things with the wings on them out there that are flying all the time. And those are the ones that come back year after year and make Oshkosh special.
That's so great. Dick, I got one more question for you. I mentioned we talk about TV and movies on the show. Can you recommend anything when you're done communicating and directing communications for your event? What are you watching on TV? Are you binge watching anything or have you seen any of the summer blockbuster movies?
The thing that I've watched, of course, Masters of the Air, the series that was, of course, about airplanes and that, you know, I'm a guy who likes old movies. And so, you know, I'll be on TCM and watch some of those sometimes. Nice. First of all, there are no commercials. It's a little bit of escapism and you can watch the old stuff. And sometimes, you know, I always remember the original King Kong when he's on the Empire State Building and there are the biplanes flying around him. And you look at the special effects now and says, that's hokey as heck, but boy, is it fun.
Yeah.
And, and then of course, you know, people say, what's your favorite aviation movie? I say Airplane. It's so goofy.
Love
that
it.
It's just
it's so great. We were just talking about that the other night. What about Top Gun? Are you a fan of Top Gun Maverick or the originals?
Yeah.
Those are
Top
fun.
Top Gun. You can tell it's, people, spit lines at me all the time with that. You know, we have the need for speed and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And, but that's one of those iconic movies. And the Navy will tell you after they did the movie, recruitment went up.
Really?
Very
wow.
Much back in the mid 80s, because suddenly it became a glamorous thing. I want to go fly one of those airplanes.
Yeah. Right. Dick, thanks so much for your time. Keep up the great work. It was great to meet you. And please come back soon and, let's keep this thing going. Good luck this year. I hope everything goes well.
Well, thanks so much, Pete. I hope you can come out and join us sometime, and we'll see everybody out on the flight line starting the 22nd.
Would love to. All right. Have a great event. Thanks, Dick.
Thank you.
Dick Nopinski. He's the communications director for EAA. Go to eaa.org and find out more information. Find out about tickets. The event this year is July 22nd through the 28th. And have a great time. I would like to get to Conrad, aren't Mino and the mayor going to be there?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, they're going to be doing it live from the AA.
How do we not get comped into that baby? What happened there?
Well, I think that might be closed by the time we're
breath
there.
Or what? All right. So we were going to talk about the film Boyhood tonight. We didn't get to it. This is a masterpiece of a movie. We'll talk about it tomorrow night. The film took 12 years to shoot with the same actors. It was nominated for Best Picture in 2014. I thought it should have won. Richard Linklater is the director. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I've got some great clips, but I want to thank my guest tonight, Dick Nopinski from the EAA, Jimmy Pardo from the Never Not Funny podcast, and you can check out Jimmy at ucbcomedy.com this Saturday night, hosting or being a part of the game show Pop Cultured. And thank you, as always, for all your texts and taking part in What to Watch Thursday and discussing the etiquette of hugging. I don't know if we came to any conclusions to that, did we, Conrad?
I feel like it's definitely situational. Never do it.
Most people
in
just
a workplace.
Don't do it. Don't,
you know.
Well, definitely not in the workplace.
That's,
Go around hugging people.
Well,
that won't last long.
Got to highlight the text there.
What's that? We getting in? Oh, I got to read this. Wait. Oh, I missed one. Okay.
Yep.
What's this? Tyler from Columbia County again. We annually camp at Camp Scholler. I commute to work from the grounds a few days and even have volunteered. Make sure to check out the seaplane base. It's EAA Lakeside Vacation Spot. That is awesome, Tyler. Thank you so much for the recommendation. I should have read that when Dick was on the air. But we'll have Dick back again soon. That was fun. Thank you, everybody, for being part of Nightlight tonight. Hope you have a great night. We will be back tomorrow night with Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. And as always, more fun talk that brings us together about movies and TV and music and comedy. I'm Pete Schwabe. On behalf of Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.